Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate that much. And it is an honor to be here once again. And we have been at Heritage there in Galleon, Ohio for 10 years now. And we came down here to Florida for a couple celebrations. One is we did have our fifth child, and baby boy number two out of five. And we named him Bryce Carter Noblet. And in honor of my hero, Pastor Carter, we thank God for that. And he came around about a month ago. And so we just came down to celebrate it with family. And the in-laws and all family wanted to see him. And we're so thankful for that. And also come to celebrate, you know, the Super Bowl ended last week or two ago. And I came down to celebrate the fact that there was only one undefeated football team last year. And that was the Ohio State University. That was the Buckeyes. And, yeah, I only saw about 23 people that rolled their eyes on that. The rest of you don't really care at all, but it was good. It was good just to be here back again with family, and I left the door open. It was about 40 degrees, I think, when we left, and this morning I checked out, it was about 10. And it's not too bad here, about 50 degrees this morning. And go ahead and open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. I'm going to preach on the subject tonight here about, do you really love your church? And hope going to be pretty practical tonight, and Lord willing, helpful to us individually and collectively as I consider this my church. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Before we get in there, I have a questionnaire here that some 8, 9, and 10-year-olds were asked. And they gave their wisdom on a couple of these. And the first question that was asked here was, how do you decide who to marry? Now, that's an important question, is it not? How do you decide who to marry? Alan, age 10, said this. He said, you have to find somebody who likes the same stuff. Like, if you like sports, she should like it that you like sports. And she should keep the chips and dip coming. I like that one. It says here, what do you think your mom and dad have in common? Lori, age 8, says, both don't want any more kids. You write that one pretty good right there. What do most people do on a date? What do most people do on a date? Martin, age 10, says on the first date, they just tell each other lies. And that usually gets them interested enough to go for a second date. Lynette, age 8, says dates are for having fun and people should use them to get to know each other. Even boys have something interesting to say if you listen long enough. When is it okay to kiss someone? That's a good question, isn't it? Pam, age 7, said, when they're rich. Is it better to be single or married? Anita, age 9, says, it's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need someone to clean up after them. Last question. How would the world be different if people did not get married? Kelvin, age 8, gave the spiritual answer. There sure would be a lot of kids to explain now, wouldn't there? 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 here. As I touch on that subject some tonight, do you love your church? And here again, the Apostle Paul gave a great, great example here of a Christian and a preacher. Verse 23, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. And Paul here is basically kind of defending himself. He kind of goes on above this and says here, verse 24 and on, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. And journeyings often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of among false brethren, and weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, and hunger and thirst, and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. Paul was saying basically here now, he says, besides all this, what is killing me the most, it's not without going without food and no water and little clothing and being beaten and being shipwrecked. He says, above all this, the thing that troubles me most is the care of the church. Verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul was basically saying here, I love the church, I love working for it, I love doing everything involved with it. But what breaks my heart, Paul was saying, is I love it so much, and too many people really do not care. Peter says, casting all your care upon him because he careth for you. He goes on basically kind of saying here that you should love the church as much as Jesus loved you. And the Bible says that Jesus died for the church. So I'm asking this kind of a question tonight. Do you love your church? Tonight, do you? Do you really love your church? And what I'm going to kind of do tonight for the next few minutes, I'm going to kind of parallel a little bit of a love of a husband should have, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, a love that a husband should have for his wife. And again, kind of parallel it to a love that we should all have for the church that we are a part of. We have to remember this: when you're married, you're to be in love with the one that you're married. Sadly to say, too many are not. But just as you're to be in love with the one that you are married to, we should be in love with the church that we joined, that we became a part of. We find the word joined here. It's kind of like a marital term here. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And therefore as well, when you come to be a part of the church that we feel that God has brought us to, we say that we are going to join that church. And if there's one thing that's needed in a marriage, above measure, above anything else, that is the word love. And what we all need more than anything else for our church that we decide to join, that is to love it. We can have a without a building, we can still have a church, and you can have a marriage and not really have a house to live in. But you can't have any of those if you don't have love in it. I wonder how many actually kind of sit back and find fault and find criticism with their spouse, or they find fault or find criticism in their church just so maybe they can find the next one that they can hop to. There was a lady that she went to a preacher friend of mine, and she went and she talked to him, and she said, you know, Pastor, I have a problem in my marriage. She says, I can never please my husband for anything. Whatever I try to do, he's never happy. He complains about everything. And the preacher kind of thought she was being a little bit negative and says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go home and I want you to tell him that you're going to do anything that he wants. You're going to be his servant at his beck and call. And so she says, fair enough, preacher, that's what I'll do. And she went home that night and said, honey, I love you more than anything in the world, and I'm going to do whatever you want. He says, what's the first thing on your list? He says, I want breakfast served in bed in the morning. She said, fair enough. He says, come on down. And looked in the fridge, and she said, well, pick it out. What do you want? And she says, I want the biscuits and gravy. I want the bacon. I want sausage. I want the grits made just right. However you make grits just right, that's what I want. And he said, I also want two eggs. I want one of them scrambled. I want one of them sunny side up. She said, fair enough. And so there it was. She got up extra early that morning. Alarm went off, and charged to the kitchen, and she made the biscuits and the gravy and the bacon and the sausage. The grits just right, and she made the egg. She put it on the tray, and she brought it up to the room, and she had that tray, and she says, sweetheart, she says, you can sit up, breakfast is served in bed. And he got up all disheveled and mad and says, I've never seen such a mess in all my life. She said, what could you actually complain about now? He said, you scrambled the wrong egg. Finding something to complain about. Do you know someone like that that complained about anything and everything? With their husband or with their wife or even with their church. But I'm so sure that you that braved the storm and the cold weather to come out here tonight, you are thankful for the church that you joined or are a part of. Amen. I was sitting up there with my family this morning. I was kind of just jotting a couple things down and looking at what Landmark Baptist Church is blessed with. No doubt they're blessed with a thriving, soul-winning ministry. Souls being saved, Fisherman's Club and Foster's Club, and a thriving bus ministry. We're blessed with that as a church family. Right Bible doctrine. Isn't that great to be able to come to church where the gospel is preached on a regular basis? You have faith in that. Romans 1:16 says, there's power in the gospel is what is saved. And we find all the time, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, God says, moreover, brethren, I give unto you the gospel, verse 2, by where you're saved, verse 3 and 4, says what it is, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, right Bible doctrine that's preached here. Amen. This morning I sat back in the steps and heard a great Sunday school lesson, Pastor Carter. And then I heard a sermon, tremendous. The bottom line, that was a great sermon right there we heard this morning. Two people saved, tremendous. What do you have here at Landmark Baptist Church? Strong spiritual leadership. Well, you know you're going to be fed. You know, I was listening to choir tonight. I was jotting some notes and go over my notes. And you know, you are so blessed with one of the greatest choirs you could ever have. Great song leader, great choir, specials, tremendous. The Cruise Trio right there, that was a blessing right there. Amen. I mean, talk about the preaching that you get to be here on a regular basis. I heard the great bottom line sermon this morning. It was so good. I heard it a second time at 2 o'clock this afternoon on the radio. Tremendous. I mean, what do you have here? Landmark Baptist Church. Above all, we're independent, fundamental, hot, on fire, King James Bible only, Baptist preaching church. I mean, there's so much to be thankful for at the church family here at Landmark Baptist Church. Asking you here tonight, do you really, really love your church? If a husband and a wife relationship is right, then there's going to be love. Point number one then, love. Love will cause you to be faithful to your wife. Love will cause you to be faithful to your wife. Remember, just a reminder, I guess, for what we said, for how, remember, many years ago it was for you. I was kind of curious to know, how many, raise your hand if you were married here at Landmark Baptist Church, you were married here? Many. How many you had your children here married at Landmark Baptist Church, your children married here? Yeah. I've been to many a wedding here just to, as in support. I don't know of too many men that like to go to weddings. We just do it out of obligation, I guess, and to please the wife. But I've been to many a weddings here. And I remember time after time seeing from Brother Parton to others as they gave their daughter away in marriage and seeing just tears in their eyes and heard the words forsaking all others between the husband and wife there. And again, I'm so thankful that for my fifth child was boy number two. I've said this so many times to my church, because I already have three daughters and I have to give my girls away to three ding-a-lings, and I didn't want to have to give a fourth one away. And so I'm glad I got a boy, don't have to worry about that. But here at the altar, we hear the words from Pastor as they repeat what he says, forsaking all others. Forsaking all others. And I believe because the world is so messed up in 2013 and has this marriage thing all mixed up, I believe it's really crept into the church house as well now. Because when you join the church, we should literally be forsaking all others. When you say that at your wedding altar, you're saying, as a husband to your bride, I only have eyes for one, and with all my heart and love, I'm committing my entire life to you, forsaking all others. And when you join a church, that is the same mentality that we must have. Forsaking all others, I'm committed to that church and that one church alone that God has brought me to. I had a teenager a couple years ago, believe it or not, got a little bit rebellious on me, Brother Pouts. How about that? He actually got mad at another teenager. I'm at another one. I couldn't imagine that either. And he literally wanted to leave the church because he was mad at another teenager. But what did Mom and Dad do? Mom and Dad set up a meeting with the pastor and said, here's what we told him. We told him that we're faithful to our church, that we are not church hoppers. What happened to him? He stayed there because Mom and Dad made him, but right now, about 3 years later, he's a faithful servant of God at his church where God has him at. Amen. You stick with it. I believe the greatest thing that a mom and dad can do is buckle up, tighten the belts, join the church where God would have you to be at, and say, I'm committed to that church and that church alone. Amen. You remember what it was like back in the day, guys, when you had the physique, you had the hair just right, what hair you had then, and you just had to comb it right to impress her. He was in love with her to no end. How many remember that back in the day? Remember that, guys? Yeah. When you was in love back then, the guys would call you up. They would say, hey, come on over. We got a ball game to watch. Come on over. We got to do some fishing. We got to go down to the lake and get it on down there. But you said, no way am I doing that. I got my bride-to-be right by my side. 6 inches before you were married, but it was right by your side right there. Why did you say that? Because she was A, number one on your priority list. But you know what? I believe with all my heart that this has crept into the church, and we have this thing of love mixed up, that I believe too many people don't really love their church anymore. They don't. Say, why should you love your church? Because God says in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. God wants us to go to church more and more and not less and less. Why should you love your church? Because the Bible says Christ died for the church. He gave himself for the church. But too many people don't put their churches on a priority list anymore. They'll stay home to watch the ball game and think nothing of missing church. They'll stay home and play fantasy football and think nothing about missing church. They'll stay home to watch movies, play with the Xbox, but think nothing about missing church because it's not a priority in their life anymore. I believe with all my heart we're supposed to love our brides. We're supposed to love our church. We're supposed to have affection for it. And I'm just being plain and simple. If you don't love your bride and you don't love your church, you are not right with God. If you love right, you will be faithful. Number two, if a man loves right, he will do whatever she needs and wants. If a man loves right, he will do whatever she needs and wants. How many ladies are liking this point right here? Yeah. You know, I believe within reason and lined up with Scripture, we should meet the needs and wants of our wives. Ephesians 5:25, husband, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Think about what all God did for us. He gave us life on this earth. He gave us air to breathe and clothes to wear and food to eat. Amen? He gave us salvation by grace, and for those of us that are saved, a mansion in heaven, eternal life with him. And a man is always pleased, if you think about it, some men, a man is always pleased when he knows that he has pleased his wife. A wife is always happy when her husband pleases her. Men, it's okay sometimes to buy her chocolates. It's okay. It's okay to buy her flowers. It's okay to buy her perfume. To surprise her. In fact, I have my wallet right here. Have my wife's three favorite perfumes right here. This card right there. Three favorite perfumes. Anytime I want to get them, I have them right here. Right here. I never get it for her, but if I guess I want to, I have the exact kind that she wants right in my wallet right there. Taking her shopping, taking her out to eat, let her choose. Shopping doesn't include Cabela's or Dick's Sporting Goods, but where she wants. You know, I love my wife, and you love your wives, right, men? Amen. And I really do love it when I please her. That's why once, twice, three times a year we come down to Florida. And a couple reasons. I can't stand 20-degree weather, really, in snow and ice. And it's good to get down here, but I really come here that many times because she wants to. And I believe if I have the ability to please my wife, I'm obligated to do so. Amen. And really, so it is with your church. When you see that your church has a need, I believe we are obligated to the church that we joined to meet the need that we see. And if you love your church, you will look for a need that your church has. If you see a soul winning need, you're going to be there. You're going to jump to it. You see a bus ministry need, you're going to be there and you're going to jump to it. You see a nursery worker need, ladies, you're going to see that and you're going to want to jump to it. You see a teenage need, you're going to want to jump to it, and you're going to want to meet that need. You're going to just finally see an encouragement need. An encouragement need. Amen. You are going to want to jump to it. How many remember the Spanish church situation way back when I was here several years ago? Remember that? some of you here that remember a little bit, and my heart broke for Pastor Carter one night when he told the whole church the story and the whole situation, which I don't obviously need to get into tonight, but my heart broke for him. He didn't shed any tears, but I really never did understand. Dr. Al Lacey said there's different types of love that people have. There's a certain type of love that a husband has for a wife and a wife has for a husband, a certain marital love. And there's certain a love that a mom and a dad has for a child, and a certain love a child has towards a mom and dad. And he said there's also a certain love that a pastor has for his people who God has given him to protect, to the flock to watch over. And I never really understood it until I became a pastor. But as I did seat in the congregation and did watch Pastor Carter, and him did tell us a story of the Spanish church situation, how pastor was betrayed and let down and so on, I remember my heart breaking for him and thinking, what could I do to simply be an encouragement to my pastor? And I just simply went to the dollar store, grabbed a card, and wrote him a note and said, Pastor, whatever the case, I love you and I have your back. And I didn't know if he'd really have too much of a care in the world about that, but One evening service, and he didn't mention that by name, but he called it out, my card, what I said. I knew he was talking about. I thought, wow, I was an encouragement to my pastor. Amen. And that's what every pastor needs, and that's what every church needs. And if you really love your bride, you're going to be there for her and meet every want and meet every need. Number three, when your love is right, you will not allow people to put her down. When your love is right, you will not allow people to put her down. Someone complains a little bit and they say something bad about her. Remember this old saying growing up, if you have nothing good to say about somebody, don't say anything at all. Especially about your wife. They may complain, but see, they don't know what all she's going through. I mean, they put up with you, right, men? They don't know what all she's gone through. They don't know the blessing she's been to you and to me. I'm referring to me mostly here. They don't know what in the world you'd be without her, and they have enough guts to complain about her. And you hear that sometimes as a Christian, and you say, you know what? You say that about my wife one more time, I'm going to knock your teeth out of your mouth. In the name of Jesus, because I'm a Christian, you say it that way. But you protect your wife at all costs. And I believe that should be the same for our church that we joined and became a part of. Protect the church. Protect the pastor. Protect the pastor's wife. Protect the pastor's kids that need protected too. Not allow anything bad to be said about them. When the pastor was up there in Ohio back in September, we had a great, great time. We out to eat several times and enjoyed ourselves at a Red Lobster. And we just kind of gathered around the table and sharing stories. And I shared him a story that he did not know about. And talking about protecting your church and your pastor. And there was a situation here in the church, and there was one man. His name was Phil Pitts right there. And I don't know if he remembers this. But someone came up to Brother Pitts and was talking bad about his preacher. And he told this man, he says, you talk bad about my preacher one more time, I'm going to knock your teeth out. Remember that, brother? Yeah. I would love to see Phil Pitts in action besides casting a fishing line out on the pond for anything in the world. Yeah. But what you do, the pastor didn't know anything about it. But you know, it's good sometimes for the man of God to know that someone has his back. Just as Jonathan had David's back, he had pastor's back as well. I'm sure many of you will. But you'll not allow people to put your wife down. You shouldn't allow anyone to put your preacher or his family down.
Amen.
Number four. Practical tonight, but you brag on her every chance you get. You brag on her every chance you get. You remember back in the day, you'd whisper those sweet nothings into her ear. Remember that? Yeah, a couple of you remember that? Tell her how beautiful she is. Tell her how sweet she is. How many put her picture on your dashboard just to see her a little bit more? How many remember of you ever do that? A couple of you did that. Okay. You bring her over to your buddy's house. And you'd strut her in like you was the king of the world because you had your prize catch right here by your side. And you was just proud of her. How many say, Pastor, I am so proud of my wife. Proud of her? Amen. I threw one right down the middle for you men right there. And I am so very thankful for my wife. She's the love of my life, and so thankful for a mom and dad that raised her like they did, for a church family that she was able to be raised up in. Age 16, had her high school degree. Age 18, four-year college degree. Got married, teaching full-time for Mrs. Daniel at the elementary school. Age 19, was married then at 19. Had her first baby at 19. 10 months later, we did it right. 10 months later it was, honeymoon baby. Baby came along. Had the toddler department, ran it for, I don't know, 19 or age 20, something like that. And now, when I went to pastor Heritage Baptist Church 10 years ago, I told them, I said, I'm not sure how good a pastor you're going to get, but I promise you have the best example for a lady you could ever get in the whole world. What was I doing? I was being serious, but I was bragging on my wife. We should brag on them every chance we get. And really, when our love for our church is right, when it's there like it should be, we're going to brag on our church every chance we get. You go to Walmart, you go to the store, you can talk to the waitress, you go to the bank. You're going to brag on your church, on visitation, going out. Every time you get a chance, you're going to want to brag. You're going to say, you know what? I got the greatest church in the whole world. Amen. I have the greatest pastor in the whole world. Amen. People are being saved, and two were saved again this morning at our church. We got such a great musical ministry and good college and talented youth leader right there. We got such a wonderful church. You're simply going to want to brag on her every chance you get. How many churches in this nation can say, my pastor has been there for 40 plus years and still preaches it straight? He'll call you down, and he still goes out and gets the gospel to a lost and dying world.
Amen.
How many churches have the privilege to brag on their pastor like that?
Amen.
Anything else you wanted me to say about that, Pastor? Okay, doing good, okay. Okay. I sincerely mean that with all my heart. My next point, I'll be done here in a minute. That brings nightmares, that voice I just heard right there. That was Jeff Cruz at his best. Man. All right. Number five, you will protect her. You will protect her when your love is right. And you'll give her and your pastor the benefit of the doubt. You'll love her and protect her, and you'll give her and your pastor the benefit of the doubt. How sorry of a Christian, really, to not want to protect Christ's bride. I was pastoring a church for 18 months. I went to the church. I had preached about 5 sermons before. I think 4 of them were in my homiletics class at Bible college. 5 sermons ever preached before, and I went there, and everything was brand spanking new to me. Everything I did was exactly what went on here. I mean, the order of the service, the invitation, the visitation program, the bus ministry program, everything exactly the same. And everything was brand spanking new. I got there the first day, September the 15th, 2002, pulling out of the driveway, kid you not, the deacon that's mowing the yard said, "What are you doing, Pastor?" I said, "You know, I'm just going out soul winning here." He says, "You know what? That stuff doesn't work anymore." I said, "Really? Okay." And just put up the window and went about and came back home. And 2 people got saved that afternoon. You know, it still does work. And I got there, we were having about 35 on average, and we built it up 18 months to a year and a year and a half to about 170. And I say that not to say that that was a great feat. And the more I pastor, I realized numbers aren't the thing. People are what it's all about. What's all about loving people. But it's kind of good to see God use just a wretched sinner like myself in any special way. But it was good to see that. We had a high day of 300, and God was really, really moving then. But you realize when you do something for God, the devil does not like that. And he got involved there, and the deacons realized they kind of had lost control. And I'm going to shorten the story up some because some of you have heard part of it before. But after about 18 months, there was one lady in the church that was quite vocal about my wife. Quite vocal. And this lady was quite vocal. She had some ends with the deacons. And they brought a situation up that she had a complaint about my wife. A complaint. Get this now. My wife got there. She was 25 years of age as a pastor's wife. I was there for 18 months, and you would think, what would her complaint be? How she counseled people, or how she taught her class, or how she conducted the nursery, or what? Now, what would she actually complain about? She complained, I kid you not, that my wife, hang on to your seat now, it's a big one, she used colored tablecloths at the church dinners, and they always used white in the past. Yep. Not stretching the story a bit. Yeah. Big deal. And a few things kind of involved in that a little bit more in depth. And then another complaint. Then they got involved with 3 of the 4 deacons. And they actually sent a letter out with another complaint to the entire church. The complaint? We are having a church Christmas party and our church vacuum cleaner broke. My wife actually, she brought the church vacuum cleaner home that night to vacuum without the church's permission. Big deal right there, wasn't it? Needless to say, I wasn't a happy camper, and I called Pastor Carter and told him the situation and said, "Hey, what should I do here?" We had the business meeting that night. And I was livid, I was angry, I was upset, distraught, you name it. And I dealt with it that night. Business did pick up at that business meeting. It did. I dealt with it. Why? I was protecting, number one, my bride, and I was also protecting the church that God brought me there to pastor. Pastor also told me to do this. He says, "Here's what I want you to do. And so that night, you know, I had my Jonathan there. You can say my Phil Pitts. Rick Potter was his name. And I said, Rick, here's what I want you to do. So the business meeting that night, I says, enough is enough. Get this now. 18 months. More people have been saved in just that little bit of time than the history of the church, 10 years of it before combined. I mean, things were rolling and going and moving. Here's what I want you to do. I said, enough is enough. We're stopping right here. God can't be in this at all. Here's what you're to do. After I went on my little spill, I said, I want you to stand up and make a motion. And the motion is, pastor is to stay or he goes. Or the pastor goes and he stays. He said, sincerely, and tears coming down his eyes, Pastor, I don't know if I can do that. He says, what if they vote you out? I said, Pastor Carter said to do it. So that's what we're doing. I'm just doing it. And so we did it that night. And the vote came out. And of course, the vote turned out because I was a soul winner. The only reason that night and the vote, I was to remain as the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church.
Amen.
The 2 weeks leading up to that, several meetings, one out of four, my Jonathan, my Phil Pitts, Rick Potter, was by my side. That next service, I walked by Rick. Talk about protecting your church and your preacher. I said, Brother Rick, so I don't know what's going to happen, but God is going to bless you. So you talking about with a lot of money, preacher? I said, I don't know. I don't know what, but he's going to bless you. Get this. The very next service, Sunday morning, back left, about where Bobby and Brother and Mrs. Cohn are sitting, exactly about right there, invitation time came. Out of her seat, down the aisle, Tabitha Potter, Rick's daughter-in-law, came forward, and she got saved that morning. Better than all the money in the whole world right there. She got bound for glory.
Amen.
You know, God will bless you, I promise. If you protect your bride, protect your church that God called you to join. I'll be done with this. I'll say, when you love your church right, you will go to the extreme to protect it, not destroy it. You'll be committed with her through the problems. When your love is right, you will be committed to her through the problems. Husbands and wives, how many of you that are married have ever had a problem, at least one, in your marriage? Let me see your hand. Okay, you're either liars or you're not paying attention to those that raise your hand. Okay. But you know what? Truthfully, if you get a divorce every time you have a problem in your marriage, you'll get divorced more often than the seasons change and remarried and divorced and remarried and divorced. No. When problems come, you work through them. You work through them. On the way down, my wife, she got upset, and she gave me the silent treatment. Yeah. Amen. Didn't talk for hours. All of a sudden, she broke it. We went by. There's a farm with some pigs and cows. She says, relatives of yours? I said, yes. They're called in-laws. Yep. Yeah. I got some problems with a section right up there on that note now, too. But you're committed through all the problems when your love is right. And even when the problem seeps into the church that you joined, that you said you're going to forsake all others, you're committed through the problems, to protect her and love her right. I'm done. But sometimes in a marriage, you don't realize how good you really have it till they're gone. You don't realize how good you really have it until they're gone. And you know what? It goes for a church and a preacher. You don't maybe always know how good we really have it